Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Your situation may not be like Michael's, but have you ever felt that that describes your pursuit of the Holy Spirit? What am I looking for? What should I expect? In some ways, you feel like maybe you're at the pool playing Marco Polo with the Holy Spirit, right? Marco! Okay, he's over here, right? And you're just like, where is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? What should I expect? And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to take some time and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And we feel like we have maybe a good grip on who God is and understanding the attributes of God. And we understand who Jesus is and that historically who he was, but also personally who he is to us and the fact that he is the hope of the world. And because of Jesus, things are able to change. And our perspective on life and our momentary trials and tribulations are really minimal in light of what he's prepared for us and what he has planned for us. And so we understand that, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's just like, I know he's out there and I hear different things about him and I hear people talk about him, but how do I wrap my mind around that? How do I describe him? How do we describe him? What does he do? And so we're going to talk about who he is today, but also how does he want to work in my life? And so we're going to talk about experiencing the Holy Spirit. And in the next 2 weeks, we're going to kind of unpack that because like the commuter, we can go through life and not realize that how connected we are to this third person of the Trinity and how available and what he has available to us. And so next week we're going to talk about, I've struggled with this. I don't, what we're going to entitle it, and some different thoughts went through my mind. But basically the essence of what where we're going to get next week is back to where the church began. And see the involvement of the Holy Spirit. So here's what I want you to do, all right? It's summertime. How many went to summer school? There's only like five hands. The rest of you are just like that good of students back in high school, right? Or back in the day. So you're gonna have some homework. I'm gonna ask you to do some homework this week, all right? And here's your homework. I want you, maybe you're on a normal devotional thing, and you're like, man, I don't really want to stray from that. It's really good. And I'm not asking you to do that, but here's your homework, all right? I want you to read the book of Acts this week, the entirety of it, 28 chapters. That's four chapters a day, okay? Some of you can read 28 chapters because you're a speed reader and you can get through it and you can read it. You can read the book every day for the next 7 days. But for the next week, for the next 7 days, I want you to just work your way through the book of Acts, and I want you to underline, I want you to circle, I want you to mark, I want you to make margins in your Bible, make notes in your margins. I want you to listen to it as you're commuting. I want you to, as you're out running or walking or whatever you're doing, as you're talking to the telemarketer on the phone, just start listening to the book of Acts on your phone or whatever. And, so you're distracted. And just immerse yourself for the next 7 days in the book of Acts. Can you do it? Some of you, I don't know if I can do that, man. I believe in you. I think you can do it. It's going to be awesome as you see the activity and the workings of the Holy Spirit present within the early church. So here's what we're going to do today. There's two things I want to talk to you about this morning. Who is the Holy Spirit? And this really could take weeks to unpack the Holy Spirit, but we're going to do it a little bit, unpack him a little bit this morning. And then we're going to talk about experiencing the Holy Spirit. So what we know this is, what he's not. all right? If you are, depending on the translation of scripture you use, you, if you use King James, how many of you are King James type of people that you're these and thous and almostists type of people, right? And so in the King James, it refers to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And you're like, man, my recognition of a Holy Ghost, I think Hollywood, I think Casper the Friendly Ghost, and we have these images that aren't necessarily accurate of what the Holy Spirit is of God. Because of our culture, we let our culture influence who, how we view the Holy Spirit. And so, or maybe we think, you know, Star Wars is a big thing. I mean, I know some of you guys are like, I got the t-shirt and I got the sword. Or, the lightsaber, right? And so, but the Holy Spirit's not a force, right? Who is he? Well, we know Scripture's very clear that he's the third person. He's co-equal, co-eternal with Almighty God. That God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. And we know that the Father, who's sovereign ruler, he's perfect, he's righteous, he's holy. The Son came to redeem and rescue humanity from their skin, to be an exact representation for you and I, for all of humanity, to see what God is like and how God functions and how God interacts and how he desires to interact with humanity. But who's the Holy Spirit? Matthew 28:19 tells us that as Jesus is giving instruction to the disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, right? He tells them, he instructs them, Jesus instructs them to baptize them how? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, Peter is dealing with a couple individuals named Ananias and Sapphira. It was a bad day. It was a bad barbecue that day for these two. As verse 3 says, but Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself a part of the proceeds of the land? And while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not for at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart, that you have not lied to man, but to God? So even within the early church, you see this idea, this truth of Scripture, though nowhere in the Bible will you see the word Trinity. But yet you see this Godhead working together throughout the pages of Scripture. So what else do we know real briefly about the Holy Spirit? We know this about the Holy Spirit, that he communicates. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 tells us that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That God, that the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to you, and also the Holy Spirit wants to communicate through you. That God would look at through his Spirit, would want to take you and connect you to the body of Christ so that you bring your giftings to the church, and that the Holy Spirit would speak through you to the church, but also that the Holy Spirit would speak through you. He would use you to speak to people out in the world that need to have hope and need to hear a message from God. And so he communicates with us, he communicates through us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 also instruct us in this, that he makes God's truth known to us. So this week, all right, when you're doing your homework, look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to do my homework. All right? When I'm doing my homework this week, something great for you to pray is before you dive into it is just say, Holy Spirit, speak to me as I'm reading the scripture right now. Speak to me as I read through the book of Acts. Let me see you, how you're interacting with the early church, but also illuminate how you want to interact with my life through the pages of your word. He speaks to us. He communicates us. Also, we know that he is our helper. Jesus promised that he would send a helper. We'll talk about this a little bit further later on, but in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said this, nevertheless, I tell you, the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper or the advocate, again, determining what translation you use, will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. How many would have said, right, really bluntly to Jesus, Jesus, I think you ought to just stay here because I can see you. And I really don't want you to go because I'm comfortable in your presence. There is something about you that I understand. There, you know, taste, see, I can smell you. I can feel you. I can hear you. I really don't want you to go. Yet Jesus has the audacity to say, you know what? It's better that I go away. It's better for you, but it's also better for everyone else that's going to be following you. It's better. It's better. How many know God wants you not just to have the good, he wants you to have the better, right? And so Jesus says, it's good that I go. He knew that it was better for us and for them to have the invisible Holy Spirit active in amongst them than a physical Jesus. Now think about that. That is pretty mind-blowing, because you and I were so visually oriented and visually stimulated that if I can see it, then I'll believe it. And Jesus is saying, you're not going to see the Holy Spirit like you look upon me and see me, but trust me in this. It's better that I go. And you unpack that. How can that be? In John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That word, another, in Jesus' time, how they would use that word. There was two words used for another in Jesus' day. One referred to another thing of a different kind, something totally unlike that which was first described. We could kind of unpack it this way. If you were to go to a restaurant, and the server comes to you and they're like, hey, can I get your order? And our special today is this or that. And you would say something in response to them. Well, do you have another thing that is different than that? Because that's not really what I want. Or it could be used this way to describe something of the same kind, like this. Can you give me another one of that? Because that was really, really, really good. Guess which one Jesus is referring to? Another one of the same kind. A comforter just like me, Jesus is saying, because he's a part of me. The Spirit's work in this manner is about multiplication. It's about the kingdom expanding. So you stop and you think about this. It's very good for us that Jesus went away, so that his Spirit would come. And suddenly, that Spirit that was present in Genesis 1:2, when it says that the Spirit of God hovered over the deep, and in Genesis 1:26, where it says that we made man in our image, speaking again of the Trinity. And then Jesus, you come to Jesus, and he's saying, listen, it's better that I go away so that the Spirit can come. That same Spirit that was at in Genesis is now the same Spirit that Jesus is speaking about, is the same Spirit that you will find throughout the book of Acts, empowering the church, influencing the church, impacting the early believers to be bold and courageous, and causing them to step out in this mission, this mandate that God has given. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that when you come into his presence, I was thinking about this in my life where, 30 years ago, in March, when I stepped into a church service, not because I was trying to stay the night at a friend's house or because there was someone there that I wanted to see, but I was lost, I was hungry, I was empty, I was unfulfilled in life and everything that life was throwing at me. And I show up at this service and I experience this encounter. And I walk away from there and I think, man, and I can remember this being the thought that I left when I left. There was something there. There was life there and I want it. And I never stopped going since that Wednesday night. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that was present at creation millennia ago, that was present at the birthing of the church, that Jesus is speaking about. Think about that. Think about the potential that gives the church. Think about the potential that gives you. And with that potential then, what does or what can the Spirit do in the life of the believer? I mean, we know this in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that the Spirit speaks, that he speaks to us. It was very clear. You'll see this as you're reading through the book of Acts this week, that the Holy Spirit said this very clearly to the church, said this, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." So the Spirit is speaking very clearly to the early church. And I think through times in our ministry where it's been very clear that the Spirit has spoken something to us about a ministry initiative or an individual that we need to reach out to or whatever the scenario may be, all of a sudden that individual, that need, that ministry begins just to pulsate within you, and it's the Spirit speaking to you. He also does this, he testifies. He points people to Jesus, John 15, 26. We won't take time to go there, but I was just thinking about if you're doing any reading at all about the missionology of the church, and this isn't just new, but you're seeing this over and over again, hearing stories of people in the Middle East experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus will appear to them in a dream and preach the gospel, demonstrate to them the gospel. And those Muslims who are in a window of in a corridor of the world where it's the gospel is hindered from being preached on the street corner, all of a sudden Jesus and the Holy Spirit are appearing to them and speaking to them and ministering to them. He convicts us, John chapter 8, verses 8 through 11. He convicts us. I shared a story of conviction where the Holy Spirit was, you know, convicting me here not too long ago about my driving or lack thereof, right? And still, how many are grateful for the grace of God that you're all a work in progress? Amen? Because if you're done, we're in trouble, right? If this is it for me, I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. But the grace of God is continually working in us. He guides us in truth. One of the truths about the Holy Spirit and what he does, Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27, tells us that he intercedes for us. Man, you thought your grandma could pray for you. So I thank God for praying grandmas. But to think that the Holy Spirit's praying for you. He reveals the word of God to us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. He gives us gifts to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I think back, you know, I just shared about the story when I first went to that youth group. Man, when at the end of the service, the youth pastor said, "Hey, if you're a first-time guest this evening, why don't you come up front?" And so all the first-timers came up front. And all right, man, you know, regulars, let's come up and gather around them. Now I want you to pray for them. And so they were praying a little bit, and I was like, that's kind of cool. And then he's like, "Hey, if you can pray in tongues, man, just go ahead and start praying for them." And I'm like, just like, I've never been to a party like this before. But I left there again. I left there going, there was something there, and I want it, and I need it. He produces fruit in our life, Galatians chapter 5. So here's the deal, all right? You can read all you want to about the Holy Spirit. And you should. And you can know, you can go much deeper and much longer into his character than what we're able to do this morning. As you read throughout scripture, you see his activity and his inner workings and his influence. We can describe him, and that's good. And that's important. And to know the truth of this word about the Holy Spirit is essential for you and I in our Christian walk and as we navigate life and as we navigate the decisions of life. But I want to submit to you that we need to experience the Holy Spirit too. See, I believe this, that we can't truly operate without the Holy Spirit. We can go through motions, and we can like put our nose to the plow and grind through some stuff in our own strength. But at the end of the day, if that's how we're going to operate in our Christian life, you're not operating by the Spirit, you're operating by legalism. Spirit has life, legalism has death. Legalism is like, oh, grind, I gotta go to church, I gotta read my devotions, I gotta, and it's all this stuff. But the Spirit is about life and producing life within us. But the Spirit also transforms and empowers us. And you're like, well, Steve, give me an illustration of the Spirit working in somebody's life. So the best illustration, or one of the best illustrations I can give you, is not a modern one, but it's one that we find in the pages of Scripture. And it's with the Apostle Peter. You think about Peter and his life and what he encountered. He was part of the privileged three, if you will, of the 12 disciples, 12 apostles. He saw incredible miracles. He was taken on excursions that the other nine apostles weren't able to go on, where he encountered some incredible conversations and some incredible manifestations with Almighty God and Jesus. And Jesus pointed him to the Father, and Jesus had conversations with him during those times, and there was these lessons that Peter had. And yet he wasn't really totally effective in ministry until Acts chapter 2. His encounter with the Holy Spirit, I want to submit to you, totally revolutionized his life. Jesus pointed them to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered them and helped them point people to Jesus, and the church was birthed. Not in their strength, but in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Their hearts were full of the Spirit, and they experienced surprises as God did things in them, through them, and for them that no one could anticipate. So that really brings us to this thought this morning of experiencing the Spirit. How do you know when the Holy Spirit is moving upon your life and through your life? It would be really nice, right, if it was like bullet points for every single one of us. Always the same, always predictable. We think, oh, then we know. But it's really not always that clean, though we definitely have some guardrails, if you will, for us as we learn to listen to the Spirit and be prompted by the Spirit. So what I want to do is I want to take some thoughts from Dr. George Wood, who is the former superintendent of the assemblies, and just walk through really put some guardrails up for us on this topic. Because when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's kind of almost in some ways, it's like sometimes people have the same response to talking about the Holy Spirit as you do when you talk about finances. It's like, whoa, like boundary, careful, you're going to ask me to do something weird, or, you know, something's going to happen, and that's not the case. How many know everything that God has for you and I is good, right? Whether it's our finances, is good. Whether it's the Holy Spirit, it's good. Whether it's salvation, it's good. Whether it's direction for your future, it's good. Whether it's for your family, it's good. Look at your neighbor and say, it's good. All right, so here are some guidelines or some guardrails, if you will, all right? The Holy Spirit creates unity among us without producing uniformity. When the Spirit of God enters us, we don't become clones. Aren't you glad? I mean, just like, look around, right? I'm like, we don't become clones. Scripture refers to the church as a body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, Romans chapter 12, verse 5. That speaks of this individuality, but also this purposefulness to it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, we read this: so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. One body, but not all the same function. Not all eyes, not all ears. You didn't come this morning to One-Eyed Tabernacle. You know, where our mission statement is just focused on Jesus. You know, we're not all one thing. We're not his hands church, because we're not all representing his hands. The Spirit ministers to us the life of Jesus, which is the source of our unity, but he also brings us into conformity with Christ's likeness without making us like cookie cutter all the same Christian. We have our distinctness, we have our individuality, but God has gifted you with gifts. God has empowered you with things. God, you are a tool in his hands that can do a work that I couldn't do. Or the person next to you couldn't do, but you're very much needed, and you're very much not needed in your own strength, but you're needed to be used in that capacity with the guidance and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, so that we become even more effective. Secondly, the Spirit taps the potential in our life that no one or nothing else can reach. When a person surrenders themselves fully to God, they encounter the Holy Spirit, man, they're different, not better. But God is doing something in their life. A person's potential goes beyond themselves when you experience the Holy Spirit. I mean, you look again through the book of Acts, you're gonna see that over and over and over and over again. And how many know Scripture needs to be our precedence, not our experiences? Right? It's the difference between trying to start your car with your lawnmower battery versus something with 800 cranking amps. Tim Inlow, who is, we've had Tim here before. He was actually the camp speaker for the high school camps, but Tim Inlow will be with us next summer. And God's just really gifted Tim and used Tim ministering in the area of the Holy Spirit. So he's gonna be with us next year, but I was reading one of his books this last week, and in his book, he shared the story of this gal that was at one of his conferences that just really got filled and God just really, you know, revealed himself to her. And Tim had given the congregation this instruction: hey, as you leave here today, as you go through your week, would you just pray a quiet prayer each day throughout your day? Holy Spirit, would you use me? Would you flow through me? Would you show yourself to others through me? And this lady went to work. She happened to be a server, and the day was progressing at her place of work. And Tim shares a story that a coworker, a colleague, was just really complaining, "Oh man, my back is just killing me today." And out of character, out of norm, this server that was at the service with Inlow just said, "Hey, can I pray for you right now?" And the coworker was like, "Yeah, I guess." And so this lady puts her hand and just begins to pray for her coworker. And all of a sudden, God shows up, the Spirit shows up, and the lady that had the back issue was like, "Hey, wait, what's going on here? I mean, you got some deep heat or something going on? Because I feel this heat running through my body right now. What's going on?" And God just touched her back. And then later on in the day, the manager walked by and is like, "Man, I'm heading to my office. I got this killer migraine." And so the server follows him and is like, "Hey, would you mind? Can I pray for you right now?" And so the server puts her hands on the manager and begins to pray. And the guy, same scenario. Wait. What are you doing? You like have some peppermint like oil stuff that you're putting on my head that's, you know, because I have this burning sensation going on in my body right now. What's going on? And the headache's gone. See, why did that happen? You know why that happened? Because the individual said, "You know what, God, I realize the potential that is within me now, that the same Spirit that was present at creation, that Jesus talked about in John 14 and 15 and showed up in Acts chapter 1 and 2 is within me, and I'm going to step in faith and I'm going to see what happens." And you know what? It's really not, at the end of the day, it's not my responsibility for the outcome. My responsibility is for my obedience. And God shows up. And God shows off. And there's times where many in this room have had similar stories. And there's other times where you step out and you're like sweating bullets and God doesn't show up for whatever reason. Does that mean that the Spirit's not in you and doesn't want to use you now? Absolutely not. Man, you just got to continue to step in faith. I don't know about you, but I don't want those stories to be uncommon occurrences in your life and in my life, in the life of this church. Amen? That fresh fire, that fresh move of the Spirit, that it would take over our lives. And next, in experiencing the Spirit is leading us into two-dimensional situations. All right, or excuse me, the Spirit is leading us into two dimensions simultaneously. That sounds a lot better. He's leading us deeper into God, and he's leading us out into the world. He's moving us deeper into God. It's not about us becoming odd for God. It's not about us having a whole holy huddle. It's not about us just, you know, using the gifts within the congregation here, and they never happen anywhere else. It's not about spooky spirituality or anything like that. The deeper into God that we go, you know what the outcome of that? It should propel us into a deeper love for the lost. The Spirit is always pulling us deeper into his presence, and it should, he's always desiring to push us out amongst the lost world. It's kind of this way, if I could illustrate it this way in Scripture. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4, there's this encounter that Peter has with Jesus. Peter's been fishing all night, right? Jesus shows up on the shore, and hey, how's this fishing, Peter? Oh, it was terrible, man. We didn't catch a lick last night, just horrific. And Peter said, well, go back out there and put your net on the other side of the boat and go deep. And Peter's like, what? I'm the fisherman. You know that you're not a fisherman, you're a carpenter. Let the fisherman fish, right? But Peter obeys, and what happens? This great catch happens, right? And there's a great illustration. Peter has an incredible revelation of who Jesus is in that moment. But the people around that saw this scenario happen suddenly are also drawn to Jesus because of who he is. And as the Spirit works in our life, I think that is what should be happening. We're drawn deeper into God, but also those that are around us, those that are know us, should see the glory and the presence of God upon our life and drawn to him too. Second, or next, is the Holy Spirit is a person. Lust, you can resist him, you can ignore him, or you can welcome him. Jesus' teaching on prayer in Luke chapter 11 makes this statement. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And as you're reading through the book of Acts this week, ask your heavenly Father to illuminate Scripture to you, but also to make the Holy Spirit known to you. That you would welcome him into your life, that you would allow yourself to be stretched beyond where you are right now, that you would allow yourself to step out, and if the Spirit would prompt you to pray for a coworker or to go over your neighbor and speak life into your neighbor, then that you would say, okay, this is scary, never done this before perhaps, but I'm willing to go and I'm willing to step. Because that's what our faith is supposed to be all about, isn't it? So next week, as I said, we're going to take some time in the book of Acts. I encourage you again to read it this week, 4 chapters a day. Listen to it as you're driving. Listen to it as if you're out walking. Reflect on what you see the Holy Spirit doing. And then ask yourself this question. Could you see the Holy Spirit? Could you believe? Could you see the Holy Spirit working in that way today? The things that you encounter in the books of, in the pages of Acts, can they happen today? Is it possible for that to happen today? And if it can happen today, let me ask you this question. Why did it happen back then? And who did it happen through? Through the people who were obedient, who responded in faith, who put their sandals on just like you, and used what they had, and they stepped, and look at where we're at today as a church. So as we wrap up this morning, obviously we lean into Scripture. All scripture is breathed out by God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us it offers us guidelines and instruction in responding to the word. And as we're moved and we're propelled by the Holy Spirit, we know that the Spirit is going to point us to Jesus, but also he's going to point, those workings are going to point other people to Jesus and draw people to Jesus. One author that I was reading this week said this: the Holy Spirit will never lead anyone to destroy the mission of Jesus. The promptings and the voice of the Spirit are in line with the scripture. It all works. It's beautiful how it all works together. If the worship team would come. Let me just say this, because sometimes when you think about the Holy Spirit, or you've been in services where the Spirit just really moved, it was big. And that happens. But often than not, your encounter with the Holy Spirit will be more in the lines of what Elijah experienced in 1 Kings 19. It's not in the earthquake, it's not in the wind, but it's in the gentle whisper of the Spirit. I'm not saying that God can't do the other two and the Holy Spirit doesn't do that, because there's been times in my life where it was like earthquake, big, really clear. But more often than not, it's the gentle whisper. It's like, hey, go over there and talk to that person. And there's been times where I've had that prompting, and there's been times where I missed it. And then later on in the day, I'm like, oh, now I know why. So Lord, teach us to hear what your Spirit is saying. You know, as we head back, I just wanted to not just preach this message and then send us out. I wanted to preach this message and then provide an opportunity just for us to just kind of linger in his presence and position. You know, our walk of faith is all about position and posturing ourselves in the presence of God so that we can be fully receptive and fully responsive and fully utilized by him. It's kind of like this: as you look through the pages of the Old Testament or the pages of Scripture, and you think about the Spirit, after creation and you go through Genesis and you see the activity of the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Genesis, and then you get into the Pentateuch, you know, Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus, and you study and you see the activity of the Holy Spirit there. What did the people put, what symbolized the Holy Spirit at that juncture? It was a box, right? It was, you know, the priest, when they ran the numbers, gives the instruction, you know, get 6-foot poles, run it through the Ark of the Covenant, and wherever you go, that's to go out before you. Right? And so everywhere they went, the priests are carrying this thing, right? They're working their way around corners and all this stuff, and the Ark of the Covenant is going before them. It represents the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And so God's in a box, if you will, in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament happens, and you can, Exodus 39, 35 talks about the Ark of the Covenant. It was such a big deal. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, it's the account of them, the Israelites, getting the Ark of the Covenant back from the Philistine. They're coming back into the city, right? And the oxen stumbles. And what happens? Uzziah has a bad day, reaches out and touches it, and God strikes him. But it all represents the Spirit of God and the presence of God in their midst. And then you get to the New Testament, and the Ark of the Covenant's gone. The temple is gone. And what becomes the temple? Think about this. What becomes the temple? This building? The church down the street? You do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 tells us that upon your confession of faith and your belief in Jesus, that the Spirit of God lives within you. That it's no longer carried around by 6-foot strips of wood. It's carried around in you. And it makes me ask this question of myself and of us. Do we live that way? The Holy Spirit is in you. Do you live that way? That understanding that the same Spirit that was present in Genesis 1-2 that hovered over the deep was present. Jesus was talking about in John 14. Same Spirit that was present in Acts chapter 2, in chapter 1 when the church was birthed, that same Spirit lives in you. I've been following Jesus for 30 years now. I've been a card-carrying Assembly of God pastor, ordained minister for 19, 20 years now. And that thought, guys, blows my mind. That God would look at me and say, "You're worthy of such a deposit as that." Do you live that way? The Spirit within you, and the Spirit's with you. I mean, that should affect everything, shouldn't it? And then secondly, and this is a scary one, are you willing to let them out of your box? To where it's, you know, you're still in there? Okay. Stay in there. It's safe that way. It's predictable that way. Or is it, are you willing to go, I suppose I better pray before I do this because I don't know what's going to happen. He might ask me to do something that would give life to somebody else. Come out and have your dominion in my life. Use me. Whatever the gift is that you have placed within me, use it not for my recognition, not for my ambition, but for your kingdom, that all I would do is just reflect you so that people can see you. I mean, you're not opening a box and you're not letting out the Tasmanian devil, you know, right? You're opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit and all that he wants to do in your life. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to point people to Jesus, and he's going to bring praise to Jesus through you. Isn't that cool? That he sees you as a worthy deposit. I want to put my Spirit in him. But also, I want my Spirit to flow out of him. Flow out of them.
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.